Well, hello and welcome to the Prophet Express. I am Tim Healy, and you're invited to join me each week as we have business's best leaders share their story. Well, to help you win the battle for business, and we do it for you each and every day right here on the Prophet Express. So thank you for being on board. Now, while you're on Facebook, you can follow me in the show at the Prophet Express page. Give us a like, a thumbs up. Let us know what you thought about today's show. Guests that you'd love to hear on the show. And you can also follow me and the show on Twitter at Radio Tim Healy. That's at Radio Tim Healy. So thank you for listening. Now, sometimes you just can't explain growth, especially growth that leads a startup to a market valuation of $38 billion in just over 10 years. As I say those numbers, it's hard to even comprehend that. And especially when that kind of growth happens in a mature industry that's been around for hundreds of years. So not only did this company create meteoric growth, it disrupted an entire industry around the world. Who am I talking about? Well, that would be Airbnb. And here's some more numbers. They list over 5 million properties worldwide. In 2019, they are celebrating their 500th million guest booking, and it's happened over 191 countries in over 81,000 cities. Now, can you listening even relate to this kind of success? It's hard to imagine, right? Now, before you dismiss, oh, what am I going to learn from Airbnb with a market valuation of $38 billion, let's just take it back. Let's rewind the story a little bit. But we're only going to go back to 2007, which is when it started, and it's really not that long ago. So this is really how it started. Two of the three original founders of Airbnb, Brian Chesky and Joe Gebbia, were renting an apartment in San Francisco. And as all great entrepreneurs, they saw an opportunity to make money, to rent out air mattresses, that's right, air mattresses to attendees from a local design conference. So they put together a basic website, and the pair rented out their air mattresses to two men and one woman who paid $80 each a night. And essentially, Airbnb was born, and this is around 2007. Now, the story, that story is probably easy for you to picture. You know, you're the startup, you're the small business owner, the entrepreneur listening. So you might currently be dealing with similar startup conditions in your apartment, in your basement, or your garage somewhere. And it's today's guest, actually, is Joseph Michelli. He's an internationally sought-after speaker, best-selling author, and consultant whose brand new book, The Airbnb Way, Five Leadership Lessons for Igniting Growth Through Loyalty, Community, and Belonging. And after reading his book, okay, it is clear that there are lessons for any kind of business, and that includes yours. So don't go anywhere. Keep it right here in the Prophet Express. And that's why it's a real pleasure to welcome aboard the Prophet Express, Joseph Michelli. Joseph, how are you today?
I'm great, Tim. I feel like I should just do a mic drop. I think you just did everything that needs to be discussed right there. Let's call it.
Well, thank you very much. No, I just my job is just to get them excited to let them know how fantastic you're going to be, and they're sitting at the edge of their chair waiting.
Well, now I feel like a real letdown's about to happen relative to the intro, though. No, I'm excited to tell the story. This is a trippy story when you put it in that perspective. $38 billion over 11 years and just a few air mattresses. They also did serve uncooked Pop-Tarts. Let's not leave that out of the story. That was the breakfast element of the Airbnb that they originally created. So other than starting in this meager way, how do you go and create that kind of valuation in that short period of time? It's an exciting story to tell.
Well, I'm glad you tackled the story and took it on, and I've read through the book. And again, I do really want to state this, you know, it's so hard for the typical entrepreneur, startup, wannabe startup, to wrap their head around Airbnb, to wrap their head around a valuation in the billions inside of 11 or 12 years. But as you know, you listening, you're going to find out in my conversation with Joseph Michelli. And again, he's the author of The Airbnb Way, brand new book just came out. There's a ton of relevant lessons and stories. So, Joseph, let me start off with, in 2014, one of the co-founders, Brian Chesky, he spoke about the human need for belonging and how relationships give our lives the greatest meaning. Now, on the surface, Joseph, it's a great idea, okay? But then I sit back and wonder, how do they achieve feelings of belonging? How does Airbnb do it when this year they're celebrating, they have 500 million booking? How do they accomplish that?
Well, you know, it's such a great question, and I think it's a perfect question for every entrepreneur to face, particularly a startup entrepreneur. So one of the things I would say is to even get to that idea that belonging is important, these guys, you know, Joe and Brian Chesky and Nathan, all of them had this willingness to explore new ideas and new concepts. So, you know, they'd be listening to your show and your podcast and the like. They'd be reading my book. And in fact, they read a book by a guy by the name of Chip Conley, who the book called Peak is all about how do companies get their mojo from Maslow. So if we all remember back to some high school diagram of a pyramid of needs, we'll remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs where someone told us that, you know, safety needs are at the base. And then toward the top, we all get self-actualized and there's some need states in the middle. And Conley did a brilliant job of that. And he'd actually run a hotel company in San Francisco. And so they reached out to him and said, hey, can we talk to you about, you know, how we might bring some of your ideas into our really fledgling business at the time. And it was through those conversations and then eliciting his involvement in the company that they really focused on one of the need levels of the hierarchy that Maslow talks a lot about. And that's this kind of love belonging need. And I think every business, and no matter what you do, it doesn't have to be in the, you know, the accommodation sector. It can really be, you know, hosting someone on your website. Does someone feel like they belong when they show up on your website? Do I feel like I belong when I show up on your show? Does a listener feel like they belong as they're listening to our conversation right now, or is this for somebody else? And I think that fundamental sense that, okay, this is for me. This is part of my tribal world. That was really pretty central to trying to drive something that was more than just a technology platform that enabled people to post their listings for people who wanted cheap or varied accommodations.
Because through the book, I think, I don't know if it's their mission statement that they've kind of like boiled it down to, is it belonging anywhere or everywhere, I think it was?
Yeah, absolutely. They've narrowed it down. And the broader language of it is we want to create a world where anyone can belong anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. But for short, it's belong anywhere. And I think the concept is that we are in the business of enabling travel for people through people. And that experience should be one where no matter where I find myself, if I'm LGBTQ in the deep south, if I am somehow or another in the third world and I don't speak the language, I should still feel like I can belong here, that I can travel here and feel welcomed and respected.
You know, what's amazing as you describe it, and they talk about it so much through your book, obviously, is if you were a traditional hotel and you had a property or several properties, it just seems like it would be so much more manageable to have that kind of a mindset. But what really fascinates me about your book is how, you know, the very model and the fact that, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't own any of the properties, obviously. It's just the host-guest relationship that they've put together. And yet they're able to manage that and foster that belonging feeling. And I guess I'm just not smart enough to understand how they do it, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, I think you're plenty smart enough to figure it out. I think it is pretty mystifying. You know, it was in 2008 when they were really getting their accommodations on their little website, as you described it. And in that same year, I was consulting and working with the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company, a Marriott member. And so I was working with the CEO of the Ritz-Carlton at the time, and we were talking about, can we modify the Ritz-Carlton hospitality experience such that we would serve beer in a bottle, because of that time you could only serve it in a glass in a very elevated presentation. But could we do that? And that's the kind of questions we were struggling with, right? So and became at some point, I think the entire hotel industry was so out of sync with the way the world was really going. And they were also, I think, struggling to make sameness happen. And they created such a transactional experience. I mean, I really don't feel like anybody cares if I belong or not at most hotels. They just care that everything is predictable, consistent. And I appreciate the consistency, but I don't feel welcomed or like I belong with any particular hotel family. So I think that that Airbnb had an opportunity, right, to give something different to the marketplace. And your point is great. How in the world do you get a bunch of independent business owners, small mom and pops, some small business owners, lots of entrepreneurs, to somehow behave in accord with your vision of what this could be?
Yeah, I mean, and that's, and it's funny because, you know, everybody listening, you know, once they get past the name Airbnb, they realize that so much of what the founders are relating to and have created their foundation around are really just great principles. And, you know, in, on the human side, on the service side. And again, if you're just tuning in, today's guest, Joseph Michelli, the author of the brand new book, The Airbnb Way, Five Leadership Lessons for Igniting Growth Through Loyalty, Community, and Belonging. Now, Joseph, they speak about it a lot. You speak about it a lot in the book. You know, obviously, with a site like Airbnb, with a service like Airbnb, technology is critical, and they talk about some of the advantages that they have. But they also talk about the importance of the human touch, okay? And they really understand the, you know, how critical that is. So then how, what would be the first experience a potential renter or a host would encounter to feel that human touch when they interact with Airbnb for the first time?
So the most common thing is going to happen, you're going to go on the website, you're going to look around for your property, it's going to be easy navigation, that's all technology, you're going to find what you're looking for, all technology, you're going to book your property, and then shortly after the booking, in most cases now, they used to have a more draconian approach where you would have to reach out to a host to get approval to book their property. Most of the time, people are instantly booking, so I'm just going to book the property. Shortly after I booked it, I'm going to likely get a communication back through the app from the host, and the host is going to say, I'm looking forward to hosting you on this visit, and tell me a little bit about yourself. Here's some information you might want to know about our community. I'll have a guidebook. I'll share more information soon. Thanks for booking. So it becomes an initial online hello person to person, as opposed to just a booking confirmation email you might get from a hotel.
Now, when did they make that switch as far as going from the old way of doing it to what you currently described? How long has that been in play?
There's, you know, they slowly brought it on in time. It's not a necessity for a host to book using instant booking. If I'm an elder woman in and just renting the room in my home, I might very well want to vet you before I let you come to my place. So I may not opt to book using the, you know, the instant booking option.
Okay.
The unfortunate reality, if I don't do that, it's a little harder to find my property thanks to the algorithms on the website. So they're really trying to get hosts to act in ways that maximize convenience for the booking guest. But they still give hosts the autonomy to make a decision that says, no, I'd still rather have a human interaction before I ever allow someone to confirm a booking.
So if we talk about human interaction, you quoted the psychologist Rollo May. And the quote, I want to read the quote. It said, communication leads to community, to understanding, intimacy, and mutual valuing. What are some of the tools? Because again, communication to me is critically important in any business for anybody listening. So what would be some specific tools or strategies that you've researched and found that Airbnb uses to help hosts become better communicators?
Well, I think there's such a panoply. I mean, they're suggesting to hosts all kinds of things. So they rate hosts on communication, they meaning the guest will rate a host on communication. Airbnb captures all of those ratings and it affects your search there too. It's part of your algorithm. So there, if you're having some problems with communication, Airbnb is going to send you just-in-time communications of their own saying, we're noticing that you're not getting back to people in a responsive way. When you are getting back to them, you're not providing them with sufficient amounts of information for them to do their planning. You know, it's the timeliness of communication. It's the thoroughness of communication. It's the ability to not only communicate to fulfill another human's need, but are you anticipating other need states of folks? All of those things are, you know, being evaluated, and there's training that's being provided to hosts who are not scoring 5-star in those areas.
So they're obviously they're using technology with communication very effectively, and then it sounds like, and you know, based on what you're describing, they're really prompting hosts to be thinking in a more communicative way, if you will.
Absolutely, because one of the biggest challenges Airbnb faces is trust, right? I mean, if you think about this, we're going to do business on your platform, and then we are going to put strangers in the homes of strangers. And so communication is this opportunity to start to build a road toward trust. And if you fail to communicate efficiently or in a timely way, you erode trust. And once it's eroded, then people start doubting everything thereafter. And so it really makes the marketplace much more fragile.
Now, one thing that is discussed a lot in doing what I do as a sales trainer and coach, empathy is a key, I mean, a tool, if you will, or to be able to, you know, to show empathy when interacting with people. How important is it for them in creating a sense of belonging?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a great TED talk by Joe Gebbia, who is one of the founders, and in it he talks about designing for trust. And in the core of it, he gives this great story of the first time he ever hosted somebody in his home, and this was long before Airbnb, and it was just a random person who was buying some stuff at a garage sale of his, and for some reason they had a conversation that led to this person staying the night in his house, and he talked so much about how he double locked his door with this guy sleeping in the couch in the front room because he didn't know him well enough. And he had this sense that the guy who drove a Red Miata at the time would somehow come into his room, hack him into little pieces and then stuff him into the trunk of the Red Miata. And I think that's that kind of empathy, which he speaks of very candidly, is something that they try to put both sides in the position of. I mean, if you're traveling in a foreign country, you don't speak the language, you're relying on some human being, you would certainly hope that the person who's hosting you would put themselves into that position. If something untoward happened to you and you had to go to the hospital, for example, that they would take you there and translate to the emergency room team. And we see so many stories of the hosts that we interviewed across the world that really have put themselves into the place of the vulnerable traveler, or vice versa. You know, people come and stay in someone's home and they kind of think about, wow, I'm going to be a good guest because I would want that if someone stayed in mine.
You know what's funny? Because obviously you share a number of stories with the hosts, the super hosts, and what they've done. One of the stories that caught my attention, I do remember the Red Miata with, you know, getting chopped up and put in the trunk. That certainly stuck out. But one that I thought was very powerful, actually, was the story of, I believe, it was a couple that went to Paris, and they had the unfortunate timing of being there during those terrorist attacks when I think it was 130 people were killed. And that obviously could have gone horrible in a number of different ways, the anxiety and the stress of being over there. And how the host kind of played it out from there was pretty amazing. Can you take it from there and tell the rest of that story?
Yeah, the guests were Debbie Herdert, who I know quite well. I just spent time with Debbie in Portland, and she was visiting Paris at the time of the attack, as you described it, and everything shut down with the attack. If you're a tourist in Paris at the time of these attacks, there is nothing for you to experience. And she was seriously contemplating going back home sooner, and she felt bad for the hosts that had stayed there because they obviously were upset and anxious about all that was happening in their country. But those hosts said, you know, we don't want you to leave France with this as your image of your experience. And so we're going to consciously and willfully take you away from the cities into kind of a more, you know, a peaceful climb and enjoy that with us and share a meal with us. And they became great friends. Subsequently, they've come to Paris and stayed at Debbie's Airbnb in Portland. So, you know, this was a time that could have been just a travesty. And if you're a traveler caught in the middle of something like that, it could have been a horrific experience. It was very gut-wrenching, but it was also human connecting at the same time to the Airbnb experience.
Yeah, that was, that just goes to show you the power of the model. I mean, because you're not going to get that from a hotel, obviously. That's why that story really stuck with me. And today's guest.
And Tim, I would just qualify just to say that this doesn't happen in Airbnb all the time either. You know, my goal is to teach people of what is the highest levels of service we can provide to each other and create those experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think Airbnb is constantly pushing hosts in the same direction. Be a host is in the core of their values. And they really say to host is to empathize.
And it's working, obviously. And today's guest is Joseph Michelli. He's author of the brand new book, The Airbnb Way. Now, you've written, you're a best-selling author. One of your other books is on Starbucks, correct?
Two, actually, yeah.
Oh, two, I'm sorry.
I've got a couple of Starbucks books in my pocket, yeah.
A couple, not just one. I'm just, you know, it's a question I don't often ask authors, but why this subject matter with Airbnb? How did you end up on this?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why did you have more than one kid? And, you know, which of the kids do you love more? All those kind of questions. You know, for me, Airbnb, this was timely. I'd written two books about Starbucks. I've written about Ritz-Carlton. I've written about Mercedes and Zappos and you name it. It seems like we've had a book about it, and I've been fortunate that way. All of which are in this space of who is trying to deliver a differentiated experience, normally to their employees and to their customers. What leaders are worthy of study. And so Airbnb was just interesting to me for a couple of different reasons. Unlike maybe Mercedes, where I was very actively involved in helping them transform their customer experience and get out of the world of obsession about product and start thinking about the way you sold the product to market and delivered it in terms of an experience, Airbnb was this mystical 21st century phenomena, a unicorn in terms of profitability, constantly growing, very high dependence on technology, but almost exclusively reliant on human service delivery. So you've got this whole technology that really is just a platform, and everything else is dependent upon that. And you don't control the provider of the service experience. Like, this is very different than anything else I've run across. And so how does a brand like this make it? The technology alone cannot do it. It has to be technology, you know, powered or technology aided human powered experiences that are going to make the day. And how does a company influence the human side when they can't control it? So that was why I took this on, and I couldn't have been happier. It's a very interesting, intriguing study, and I think it's the way the world's going to be moving more rapidly thanks to the advent of technology.
Well, as you just described, you know, your experience with whether it was Ritz-Carlton or Mercedes or Starbucks, you know, in 2019, they're just doing a great job in how you tell the story of showing how interdependent they are to the human touch with technology, and they couldn't do it without both. But I just feel, just I'll say it as a consumer, that too many companies are still too focused on the technology at the risk of losing out on the human touch.
And brands like Airbnb and Uber and all of them that rely on this sharing economy are also vulnerable to the human touch, right? In the old days when I would talk with Howard Schultz, we would laugh about comments like, you know, dang, we're not Coca-Cola, because if we were Coca-Cola, our people could never let our product down, right? And then Howard would immediately respond after that and say, but they also can't lift our product up. I mean, Coke is going to sit on the shelf and it's going to be what it is. And Starbucks is going to be handed to somebody, and the person who hands it to them can definitely let the quality of the product down, but it also could, they could elevate this product as they deliver it unto the customer, right? Mm-hmm. Make a magical, inspirational moment. Well, Airbnb is in the same predicament, right? Your experience at a place could be fabulously uplifted by the best of Airbnb hosts. It also can be just destroyed because of the people who are guests or the way hosts treat guests. And so there is a great vulnerability when you have to rely on people to deliver human experiences. But the alternative is just a bunch of technology, which works well most of the time. But when it goes wrong, guess what we want? A person.
Well said. Joseph, do you have some time to stick around?
I do.
Awesome. And this is the Profit Express. Today's guest, Joseph Michelli. He is best-selling author. His brand new book we're discussing today, of course, The Airbnb Way. Don't go anywhere. Up next, I want to hear what have been some of Joseph's best and worst Airbnb experiences.